the psychedologist.
Time to wake up. Time to go to school. Psychedelic summer school. What is an intention? Why create an intention for an experience? What is the difference between an intention and an expectation? How do you create an intention? In this sixth week of psychedelic summer school, I will talk about creating intentions and how this may influence journeys. I used to hold the belief that everything that happens is completely in the physical realm. You know, a thought is initiated, we carry it out with behavior, the forces of nature and physics and interpersonal dynamics play into what the ultimate outcome is. Since journeying with psychedelics and spending time around more magical people, I've learned that there is a certain power to ritual and to the symbolic action of creating a prayer, a spell, or an intention. And whether that's just more neurons paving the way to ease in a certain thing, or it's the law of attraction, however you define that, or some, you know, there's a whole realm of possibilities. I believe that intention setting actually brings us closer to what we want. And that by naming and setting our mind on an intention, even if only once, it's more likely to actualize than if we didn't think about it. So crafting intentions can be intentions for you, or it could be an intention as you're helping someone else. And this doesn't have to relate to psychedelics or drugs at all. This could be an intention for starting a new job or moving in with new roommates, an intention for a project. And of course, intention can be related to a trip or a retreat or a series of trips. So what does it mean? An intention can be what you want, what you hope for, what you would like to emulate or bring in to make happen. It can be vague, it can be very specific. It can be a word or a question or a long tangential sentence. It can be like a plan or like an affirmation. Here are some examples. I favor one-word intentions for my yoga practice. So when I'm dropping in and I set an intention for the practice, it may be something like ease or focus or compassion. Now, an intention can be, I want to heal from this trauma, or I want to move forward on, this new step in my life. I think that the words teach me, help me, show me, this may be reminiscent of episode one, those are good words to start with if you're having trouble coming up with what your intention sounds like or looks like. Teach me to love myself. Teach me about the way that the universe works. Show me what it is I'm afraid of that holds me back from this thing. Help me love myself. Help me have compassion for this other person. Help me to overcome this creative block that I've been facing in whatever endeavor. So an intention can be like a request, or it can be like an offering. It can be asking for something, or it can be intending to give something. It can be for your present experience, a la an intention for the trip itself. Like, my intention for this trip is to be open to what I should learn. That's like a really great base intention. If you can't come up with anything, just say, my intention is to learn what there is to know, or to be shown what's important right now. It can be an intention for the future, right? So like extending long beyond the conclusion of the experience, or it can be an intention for your relationship to the past. For example, my intention is to close the door or to have closure on this thing that happened before, maybe a breakup or a trauma or a negative experience or a positive experience that you're just having trouble detaching from. Why create an intention? What's it for? The intention can serve to anchor you in your experience, to make sure that if you are floating off into the ineffable and it's just a little bit too weird, that the intention can bring you back to the work that you want to do in that space. Of course, being mindful that sometimes being in the ether is exactly where, you know, your intention is realized and, you know, you don't know. So you don't want to try to steer too much, but the intention can be a bit of a, like a safety or bumpers on the edges of the bowling alley or something, training wheels. So the intention can focus the work or it can unfocus it. I found when I first started working with ayahuasca and I hadn't really had much experience with psychedelics, I would make these intentions that were really specific. And then I discovered that like surrender was what I needed to work on, surrender. So that was the intention for a while. And so you can see how that unfocused the intentions I was creating. So I invite you to consider your intentions as being like adaptogens. If you don't know what adaptogens are, they are either plant or fungi or perhaps other things can be adaptogens too, but it's some sort of medicine that rather than always increasing something, like we know caffeine dilates the vessels and it like increases the heart rate, et cetera, it never decreases it, right? Rather than just plainly increasing or decreasing something, adaptogens bring something into balance that might be out of balance. So if your immune system is overactive, and maybe that shows up as like eczema for you or something else, then an adaptogen might like bring your immune system down a bit. Consequently, it could increase your immune system if you had a weak immune system. So considering your intention to bring you toward the center or the middle path, right? Where is there a lot and like what do you want to balance out? Your intention can serve to do that, whether it's like being too focused or unfocused, whether it's having a lot of anxiety about something or not caring about something that you think that you should care about, like the intention can be a way to bring us back to center. Another thing about why set an intention, don't set an intention to determine how you want your trip to go, because you will be punished. Most likely you will be punished. That leads us into expectation, which I'll talk about in a moment. But as for determining our trip, sometimes what comes up may have nothing to do with the intention, or so it seems. And then later you can view that there is a relationship. I'll give an example from my own life. The first time I drank ayahuasca, I had been invited to set an intention or ask some questions, a question or two. And I ended up coming up with 6 questions. And you may have heard me talk about this in previous episodes. Why did this person break up with me? Why do I have conflict in this relationship? Why did that job not work out? What about this? Like, you know, I wanted answers to all of these, what I thought were mysteries in my life, things that had hurt me, right, that I still wasn't over. And I thought to get over them, maybe I needed to understand something about them. And then as soon as I started to feel the ayahuasca coming on, I was really not wanting that feeling. I was kind of clinging to my cushion under my seat, not wanting this feeling of like leaving my body. My mind was racing, trying to stay in control. And I wrestled with ayahuasca the whole night into the morning. And then in reflection, I realized that it was very uncomfortable for me to give over control or even the illusion of control, because truthfully, I don't have control. And that generalized to all of the questions I had about those experiences and those relationships, things that had gone awry. The common thread to all of it was, in fact, my perception that I'm far more in control than I actually am, and my unwillingness to let go of that idea. So in this way, you know, you can set an intention and just have a really difficult experience, but then see how that has brought in the realization of your intention by the end. So try to stick with it, even if what's coming up isn't like what you thought would when you made that intention. I'll give another example. You may have listened to my episode about Iboga, episode 16, my Iboga journey to address lifelong issues with food and body dysmorphia. I made that my intention a lot, especially this past year, wanting to clear out like the residue of those things. And because I've become so much healthier and I'm in a much better place, I still felt that disease very much with me. And I expected that in making that intention, the trip would relate to my body. You know, I'd come out of it and I'd see my body in a new way, or I wouldn't have body dysmorphia or these behavioral habits of holding my posture a certain way to like eliminate the dysphoria or to reduce it. And as it turned out, whole trip, I was waiting for that and all this other stuff was happening, but none of it really relating to food or my body. And I realized a lot of the content was about dispensing energy and how energy is given out. And in integrating, I was faced with the fact that I expend a lot of my energy. You know, I expend it completely and then I borrow energy that I don't even have and spend that too. I'm like a gambler. It's just like I can't hold on to it. And in time, I saw how that actually related to my eating habits and my habits of thinking about my body a certain way. Now, it's not that this resolved the issue, but the intention centered me, and yet it took me out of center because I was judging these things that were coming up. And it seems maybe a little bit tangential here, but I'm thinking of tarot cards and medicine cards of any kind, pulling a card, right? It's like divination or, you know, working with intuitive methods. And the card that I pulled before the ceremony was the Ten of Swords. And it's funny, the picture of it is a guy lying down with like three swords in his back and all these swords around him. And the humor in it is that, you know, he would have been killed by one or two swords, but it's like 10 swords in the guy, or 10 swords around. And so that's like burning the candle at both ends. That's the way I interpreted it, like depleting myself completely, just like death, you know, over death. And coming out of the experience, I had talked to the facilitators about like maybe just reducing my commitments and how much I eat by about 20%, like maybe just scaling back 1/5. That's manageable, right? So, of course, the card that I pulled at the closing of the ceremony was none other than the Eight of Swords, 20% less than the Ten of Swords. So I'm still on my way towards working with that. And that's another thing. Your intentions can stay with you beyond the trip, even if that wasn't what you intended. Now, still, you know, often there's wisdom to the intention that you set. It's something that you can bring to every day. Intention is something you can create every day, work with the same one or create a new one. So lastly, I want to talk about differentiating intention and expectation. The intention may come through in a totally different way than you expected, as I said, and it can be really hard. Your intention could be about healing or feeling better about something, and then in the trip, it's like anything but feeling better. So I'll give an example of a friend who had been seeking the feeling of ego death, of total disillusion and being one with everything, floating in the ether, losing that sense of identity that brings us so much trouble, many of us, that causes a lot of our suffering or is related to our suffering. And as it turned out, ego disillusion was not comfortable for this person. It was really hard, and they forgot who they were, and they forgot who the people around them were, and they couldn't bring to mind their family or the names of anyone or even what they did as a job. So in that temporary space of what the intention was, there was a lot of confusion and difficulty. I know that integration was highly critical for that, because as a result, the person realized how much they value what identity they do have and the relationships that they do have and all of the mundane stuff that maybe they felt they were taking for granted. Coming away from it, it was like a total renewal of appreciation and validation for those people. And then also probably some reverence and respect for the ego, right? Because, maybe you want your ego to die, but then when it dies, it's like, no, come back. And then it comes back. And then you get to fight with it again. I'll give another example about differentiating intention and expectations. At the ayahuasca retreat I attended in March and April this year with Cosmic Sister at the Temple of the Way of Light in Iquitos, Peru, in Quito's area, I had one intention to honor and validate and appreciate other people's spirituality and beliefs, even if they were different from my own, especially if they were different from my own. This is something that had been hard for me, and I wanted to hear other people's beliefs and not have inner judgments about them. Because I saw other people doing that, you know, being tolerant and accepting and welcoming of perspectives different than their own. And for some reason with spirituality, this was hard for me. So I imagined that in the trip, I would be like, oh, it's so, you know, I can see what they believe. It's this, it's so amazing. Like, I don't have to believe it. It's real. Well, guess what happened? I was so flooded with doubt and judgment and belittling and criticism of other beliefs and even of my own beliefs. It was very uncomfortable. I felt very mean. It was like, it wasn't even like myself. I was thinking as someone else. It was me, but it was really harsh. And I felt very negative after, very pessimistic about ayahuasca and doubtful of any of the traditions that use this medicine. And then the next ceremony, I had an absolutely beautiful, amazing healing experience. So it was kind of like that intention came back around to smack me and then to actually work. Because by the end of the fourth ceremony, in the final integration, I was hearing a lot of different beliefs when people shared what their experiences were and how they intended to come away from this trip. I was so in awe of all the variety of experiences people had, and I believed it all. There was space. There was space for me to hear and hold all of these things that weren't necessarily my experience. And I realized that I have some grief over how long in my life I didn't have spiritual beliefs of my own, and that the judgment of other people's beliefs was somehow related to grieving over my lack of. So I share that to remind you that even if you want to not have expectations and you create your intention, you may still have an idea of how you think that intention is going to actualize, and you shouldn't just push that away. Expectations may be there, and yeah, we know it's better not to have them, but if you have them, try to notice them and be informed by them. Okay, you know, I'm seeming to keep thinking and imagining it to go this way. Like, that's important. It's not something to stuff away or deny, right? Like, don't hide it, bring it to the forefront, notice it, and then I think it's more likely to pass than if you try to pretend it isn't there. Speaking of, if you want to hear more about my ayahuasca journey in Peru this year, you can listen to my appearance on the Greener Grass podcast with Lex. So in closing, be honest with yourself. Be honest with other people. If someone else is supporting you, tell them your intention. Maybe write it down or put it into an object. Bring an object that calls that intention to mind, like a picture of your childhood self or of your family, a statue representing something. So if you want to stay focused and anchored on this idea, then there's a physical representation of it to remind you. I usually just write it in my journal. And I suggest thinking about intention before your journey. Don't just try to come up with it while you're taking your medicine. All the same, if I see somebody taking something or if I see something happening, I usually ask, oh, what is your intention, may I ask? And a lot of the time people go, oh, yeah, and then they think about it. So it's okay. You can come up with it at the last second. Maybe that's the right time. But I think it'll serve you to start brainstorming and noodling on it earlier. Thanks for listening, everyone. I wish you a remarkable journey, a remarkable and intentional journey. That's all today, children. Tune in next week to The Psychedologist for more Psychedelic Summer School.